Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Great, thanks. And hope you all are having an excellent Memorial Day weekend. And we're here again to kind of continue where we left off last time about the preaching of the word in the early church and how the evangelists, in particular, Paul and Barnabas and Peter and, you know, all those men that had their hearts transformed by the ministry of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit had gone out into the world and were preaching and proclaiming the word and even proclaiming the word to the Gentiles. And when we left off last week, you might remember that the Holy Spirit was falling on Gentiles and Gentiles were coming into the kingdom and Gentiles were accepting the word. And the church in Jerusalem, as it's called, which of course was a group of Messianic Jewish believers in Jerusalem, most of them at this point, either knew Jesus personally or had seen him or had recently come to faith in him by something that one of the apostles said. Now we're kind of surprised, you know, trying to get this whole idea of the Gentiles are now included too. This was something that was totally alien to them because, and as I always say, this is why it's important to study the Old Testament, to study the Torah and the prophets, because it kind of outlines the plan of salvation, but it outlines it from a Jewish perspective.
Right.
And, you know, you can't really blame these guys at this point for thinking that the Messiah was going to be for them. Mm-hmm. The Messiah was going to be for Israel and was not going to be for a bunch of Greeks who were, you know, sitting around in Athens or a bunch of Romans sitting around in Rome who were just your sort of garden variety pagans.
Yeah.
So now these guys were kind of surprised.
Yeah. Well, as you're saying that, you know, what comes to mind is how that Jesus said he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, you know, even when the woman is the one woman at the table is begging him for him to answer her prayer, he says, you know, it's not right that I would take food from the master's table and give it to the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And she responds with, but Lord, you know, even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. So as the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon them, they're seeing this, and the nation of Israel, the tribe of Israel, was to be a light to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
God taught them his laws and decrees. And as people witnessed their daily activities, they would see the glory of God mm-hmm. revealed through them. And now here, and all of these followers of Yeshua knew this.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they see the Holy Spirit being poured out in full measure
yes.
upon the Gentiles.
Yes.
And so it had to be something that was very probably unexpected to them. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Jesus was walking with them for 3 years. He told them, he taught them, but when it approached the time for his death to be crucified, they didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And because they didn't understand that they would have a suffering or, you know, a suffering Messiah. And now, after all that, here the Holy Spirit is falling upon the Gentiles. So, you know, in a rapid succession of really 3 to 4 years, this must have been really mm-hmm. something for them to really try and comprehend, which humanly they probably couldn't do without the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we take in the book of Acts, in the part about this whole interchange that happens going to Cornelius's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Cornelius was a Roman. He was one of the people that was called a God-fearer. He really had a lot of respect, admiration for the Jewish people, and he prayed to the God of Israel. And, you know, these people were not Jews, but they were Gentiles who were called God-fearers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has a vision that Peter's going to come to his house, and Peter has a vision that he's going to Cornelius's house. And then, you know, Peter gets a little surprised. He's going to go hang around with this Gentile guy.
Yeah.
And then, and then as all this is unfolding, you know, he sees this sheet come down with these unclean animals on the sheet. And God says, you know, kill them and eat them. And he says, oh, no way. I'm not, you know, I can't eat that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God says, hey, I declare this clean now.
Yeah.
And so Peter has this whole mentality kind of rocked. Yeah. So then he goes to Cornelius's house. And of course, there's people standing around going, can't believe he's going there. You know, ooh, right. You went to a Gentile house. Ooh, you ate with Gentiles.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Holy Spirit's fell on Gentiles. You know, what's going on here? I mean, there was a lot of, you can imagine a lot of confusion and things that were not expected from what their experiences were and what their scripture said. But then, you know, in Acts 11:18, it says, you know, then they glorified God, saying, God has also granted the Gentiles repentance to life.
Mm-hmm.
So now the lights start to go on and say, oh, Messiah is for the Gentiles, too.
For the nations.
For the nations. And as, you know, when you think back to, you know, God sovereignly picks Abraham, who then has a family, and then they're in Egypt, and a family turns into a nation, and then they're settled back in the land as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as Gentiles come to Messiah, the kingdom goes from this nation of a couple of million people to all the nations of the earth.
Right.
Because now the Gentiles are also included. And it took a while for this to kind of sink in with the believers in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But it did sink in.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, as just as well as when Jesus was preaching and teaching in the synagogues, you know, the Pharisees would always question him, you know, where do you get this authority? What's this? What's this teaching? What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And he even says, in those two commandments is the fulfillment of the law, because love fulfills the law. And Paul even talks about that later on in one of his writings. But you even see it with the Pharisees, where they would say, he's going to eat with the sinner.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to eat with the tax collector. He's going to eat with the prostitute. Mm-hmm. So there's this radical transformation taking place all over in their culture in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
That, you know, to coin a phrase, you know, it's upsetting the apple cart a little bit.
Yeah.
And there were those that came to believe and know Jesus as the Messiah, Yeshua as the Messiah. And there were also those who refused to believe that he was the Messiah.
Yeah. You know? And this, for those of us that are living now, I mean, for those of us that were not Jews of that period and didn't have the customs and the laws of that Israel had and the scripture at that time that Israel had, for us, we say, oh, what's the big deal about that? So everybody knows the Gentiles are coming too. So what?
Right.
But we have to keep in mind that this was a radical thing. I mean, you know, a couple thousand years before this, God says, just go into town and kill all the Gentiles.
Right.
Just don't have anything to do with them. Don't mix with them. Don't marry them. Don't have business with them. Don't go in their temple. Smash all their stuff. You know, you stay away from those people because you're going to be led to idolatry. It's going to come to your downfall. It's going to lead you to sin.
Right.
And now Gentiles are getting, you know, filled with the Spirit.
Right.
They're hearing the word preached and they're saying, wow, we believe Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah.
This is radical change.
Very radical.
Yeah.
Because basically they were unclean.
Yeah.
They were unclean. Yeah.
And so they send, you know, we talked a little bit last time about, you know, all these Gentiles were coming to faith in Antioch, all these Greeks. And, you know, so the leadership group, the core group in Jerusalem says, we better send somebody up there to see what's going on, you know. And Barnabas, who's one of them, you know, he's the son of encouragement. You know, he goes up there and he just, it says in the scripture that he saw the grace of God and was glad. And, you know, we talked about, well, what did he actually see? Like, how do you see the grace of God? And, you know, I think, and this is, you know, pretty much my opinion, you know, he went up there and he saw these Gentiles praising the Lord and you know, from reading scriptures that were the Hebrew scriptures,
right,
and believing in Messiah. And he realized that now salvation is going to extend to people that were not in the original covenant.
Right.
I mean, the covenants are such an important thing because it's a binding agreement. It's a very intimate, close relationship. And the Israelites, of course, were in the covenant. The Gentiles were not in the covenant. And now people like Barnabas and soon, of course, Peter and everyone else, and not to mention Paul, are going to say, wow, these are non-covenant people and they're coming into the kingdom.
Yeah.
So radical change has already taken place within a very short amount of time.
As you're saying that, you know, I'm reminded about what the Lord said at the Last Supper, the Last Seder that he celebrated with the apostles at Passover. When he took the cup of wine, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all men."
Mm-hmm.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may have thought that meant all of Israel,
yeah,
but also could mean all men,
yeah,
all of creation.
Exactly.
You know, so, and there are other references that Jesus makes as far as the Spirit being poured out upon, you know, not just the house of Israel, mm-hmm, but all nations.
Yeah.
So as followers of Christ, we know that Jesus said, I think this was in Mark, that the signs that will accompany believers or followers of mine, that they'll raise the dead,
mm-hmm,
they'll heal the sick, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll give sight to the blind. And he even says several times that, you know, these works you will do and even greater, mm-hmm, ones, because I'm going to go to the Father and you're going to ask for this in my name, you know, through the power of the, yeah, Holy Spirit. So as you're talking about Barnabas seeing this happen, or going up to Antioch, and he's seeing the Holy Spirit, you know, the believers, the new believers, the new Gentile believers, you know, were there signs and wonders? You know, because, mm-hmm, everybody that received Yeshua as the Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah, when they laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They were baptized with the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And when they would pray with people, they'd be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened. I mean, there's all this talk about there's great signs and wonders in all these communities when they first come to believe, you know,
mm-hmm,
just a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Excuse me.
We see that as the plan of salvation unfolded, you know, even, Stephen, Saint Stephen, you know, in Acts chapter 7, does this beautiful, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to the leaders, and he starts with Abraham and pretty much goes through what we had just mentioned a little bit ago, where, you know, he talks about how God sovereignly picked Abraham, and Abraham had his family, and then Joseph went to Egypt, then the rest of them went to Egypt, and then Moses was born, and 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses, you know, came to the edge of the land, and then they came into the land with Joshua, and the whole time the people were stiff-necked, and they were uncircumcised in their heart, they were resisting everything God was doing. He says, and now you people, you leaders are now doing the same thing. You're resisting the Holy Spirit, just as your fathers did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which of your, he says in verse 52, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? I mean, everybody that God sent, they persecuted in some way,
right,
or even killed them.
Right.
And, you know, you can read through the prophetic books and see all those things. And, you know, they killed, he says, they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one,
mm-hmm,
of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers.
Yeah.
You who received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. So,
yeah,
in other words, here's you guys. You guys are the covenant people. You had all this stuff given to you. You had God's protection, God's provision. You know, if you remember when they wandered, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. You know, they never had to stop at, you know, pay less shoes and get a new pair of shoes while they were wandering because their shoes didn't wear out in the middle of this horrible desert. They always had manna. They always had water. They had all this provision. Plus, they had the law. They had the law given to them through Moses, the covenant which bound them to God. So, you know, Stephen says to him, you guys had all this stuff, but you didn't get it.
Yeah.
And you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You're betrayers. You're murderers. You didn't keep the law. You didn't understand the promises that came to you. And when he saw these things, they got angry at him.
Very angry.
And stoned him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he basically told them the whole plan of salvation as it, you know, unfolded.
Right.
And, of course, they didn't want to hear this.
No, they didn't want to hear it at all.
And they were, it says they gnashed at him with their teeth. I mean, you can just picture them going, yeah. You know, and then they went at him and they killed him. And this, you know, guy Saul was, you know, holding their cloaks so that when they stoned him, they could, you know, throw better. They didn't have their arms encumbered by their cloaks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's holding their coats.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you could, this is an amazing scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stephen, of course, who I guess is your namesake. No, you're his namesake.
Yeah, I'm his
namesake. You're his name, whoever. I mean, he looks up and, you know, sees Jesus in heaven and Jesus stands to receive his spirit.
Yeah.
And this probably made these guys even madder.
Yeah. He said, yeah, he says, and this is in Acts chapter 7. In verse 54, when they heard this, they were infuriated and they ground their teeth at him. But he, Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together.
Yeah. They even covered their ears. Yeah. Like a little kid who doesn't want to hear something.
Yeah.
They were probably going, ah. Plus, they probably were doing that because they were screaming and yelling at him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went at him as one just to kill him.
Yeah. They were so infuriated by what he had told them.
Yeah. And these are the leaders that should have understood what had happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah. Just like when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he's asking him about, you know, salvation and, are you the Messiah? And, you know, Jesus tells him, unless you're born again, unless you're born of above, of water and the Spirit.
Yeah.
And he didn't understand that. And, you know, Jesus says, you're the teacher of Israel and you don't know this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. They didn't understand the plan of salvation as it unfolded because they got into the legalism of what the law was.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul later in Romans is going to write, you know, you try to be righteous by following the law. Because then, and then their focus became, we have to do these things. On this day, we have to do this, and then we have to do that, and this we have to do on this day, and then we have to do that in this order. And then that became the focus.
Yeah, instead of love.
Instead of love.
Yeah.
And so had they looked at this in a big picture and seeing all the prefigurements of there in the Torah and the prophets and even in the wisdom books,
right?
They would have thought, especially people like Stephen pointing it out to him and Peter preaching, these guys should have been the first to say, wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Now we get it.
Yeah.
Even though we killed them, now we get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even at the first, as Peter's talking to the congregation there, the first, right after the Holy Spirit falls upon him, you know, they ask him, you know, what do we do? Because his words cut them to the heart.
Yeah.
And they repented and received. Yeah. In this case, they didn't.
Right. And we see that phrase, cut them to the heart again, this time in a negative way.
Yeah.
I hear Paul Loper.
Ah.
Anyway, we're going to let you listen to this song, but first I want to remind you that the Gift of Grace is on Facebook. So search for us and leave us a message. And a website,
www.giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a few minutes right here on The Gift of Grace.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
You this place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Steve and I have been talking about St. Stephen, who I think maybe Stephen's named after, but I'm not sure.
It might be.
Or might be your grandfather. But anyway, now here was someone, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yes, who's able to outline the whole plan of salvation to these guys.
Yes.
And he dies. You know, the other interesting thing that we see in that passage, I didn't mean to really talk about this passage, but it's kind of interesting anyway. The other interesting thing we see here is that it says, he looks up and he sees this vision. You know, he says, the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Yeah. Normally, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talked many times before on this show, that the work of salvation is finished. Jesus does the work and then he sits down. Mm-hmm. But Stephen sees him standing up. You know, it's like he's getting up to receive Stephen.
Yeah.
After this awesome Bible study he just did, this awesome teaching he just did. And, you know, Stephen, you know, says he falls asleep, you know, he dies, and as he dies, he forgives the people that are doing it. You know, he asks the Lord to forgive them, even though they've just stoned him to death. You know, very, very reminiscent of Jesus on the cross, asking his Father to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, don't hold the sin against them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So this Stephen is a great example of how someone has been transformed by coming to faith in him. And then being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And of course, all of these people, all of these men and women who were proclaiming this word were doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We've talked about before. And our next, since we're coming up to the Feast of Pentecost, you know, a couple of weeks or so from now. The next couple of shows, I think we're going to do sort of Pentecost shows and talk about how the inspiration of the Holy Spirit led to these ministries where the word was spread, you know, over the whole known world of the time.
Right. Yeah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit inspires all of the believers, especially, you know, especially who we read about in the scriptures, mm-hmm. you know, the apostles, the disciples, but the Holy Spirit inspires them to go to different parts of the world, go to different villages and towns mm-hmm. and spread the gospel in those places. You know, so they're led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as they go and preach, people are hearing the word of God mm-hmm. and they're coming to believe
yeah.
that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yes.
And this has to be a radical transformation for even them who are believing, because for the most part, they're pagans.
Right.
They worship all these other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are being confronted with, here's the true God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's done for you. And this is the gift of salvation that's offered if you believe.
Yeah. That's really pretty amazing. And as, you know, as we said before, and this really always amazes me, the fact that people who didn't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were and couldn't have told you, I mean, they wouldn't have known Abraham from Caesar.
Yeah.
And they would have, didn't have a clue what was going on in the temple in Jerusalem. And didn't have a clue who Isaiah was.
Right.
But yet, these people are influenced by these men who go out and start to preach. Then they listen. Then they're converted. Then they're filled with the Spirit, as you said a little while ago. And these are Gentile pagans
yeah.
who, you know, a few hours ago were going about their pagan lives and
yeah.
going to the temple to Saturn and, you know,
yeah.
doing whatever they did there.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden they're in the kingdom.
Yeah. And it is incredible because as you're describing, they have no understanding of who Abraham was. They have mm-hmm. no understanding of
yeah.
the sacrifice of Isaac
mm-hmm.
and then the covenant that God made with mm-hmm. Abraham and handed mm-hmm. it on through, you know, Isaac mm-hmm. and Jacob and the nation of Israel. So, but the word of God is so strong and so powerful that it cuts to
mm-hmm.
the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It transforms them. And these disciples who are giving this message and carrying the message of the gospel are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is a prime example of how God anoints the message and the mm-hmm. words that are spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And that seed that falls on their heart is now fruitful
yes.
for the kingdom.
Exactly.
You know? And if we try and do this without the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're gonna labor.
The ministry is gonna flop.
Yeah, we're gonna labor a long time.
Yeah.
And not have very much fruit to show for
yes.
it.
Yes, ministry is gonna be a flop.
Yeah,
radio show is gonna be a flop.
Right.
Oh. Ratings will go down.
And,
but
say it's not so.
You know how many. And I'm sure that, you know, you in the audience have experienced this, and Steve and I have certainly experienced this, but, you know, anybody who's involved in ministry that sits and plans what's going to happen and minute details of who's going where and what's going to happen there, and we're not going to go there, but we're going to do this under their own kind of planning, doesn't usually work out.
No, it doesn't get too far.
That's right. But these guys, I mean, the last thing, you know, we've used Paul as an example and Peter as an example so many times, but any of them, let's take Barnabas, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barnabas was a good Jewish man who studied the scripture and probably went every Shabbat to the synagogue and studied Torah from the time he was young, did his bar mitzvah, did all the stuff, and he did all those feasts, and he was, I'm sure, observant in every way. He would have never dreamed that he was going to be going up to Antioch and seeing Gentiles filled with the Holy Spirit saying, wow, now I understand what God's doing.
Yeah, praising God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's And, you know, it's when people are affected by this, when the Holy Spirit falls on people, everybody is astonished.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, very much so.
You know,
you see that in the Acts of the, you know, the second chapter of Acts.
Yeah. And, you know, John Paul II, the last pope, had a great quote that I always like. It says, when the Holy Spirit acts, it leaves people, he leaves people astonished.
Mm-hmm.
Because things happen and everybody goes, whoa.
Yeah.
And we weren't expecting this. You know, we weren't expecting this creep to come into the kingdom and become an evangelist. Yeah. And we weren't expecting this to happen over here, or this guy to get well, or this guy to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, amazing things happen.
Amazing. Yeah.
And Barnabas and Steve, I mean, any one of these men that you name, if you would have had a chance to sit with them as Barnabas was, you know, coming back from Antioch, you know, you would have been interviewing him. I don't think he would have said, oh, yeah, well, I was kind of expecting this all along. And, yeah, I saw these Gentiles praising in tongues, and that was okay, but, yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
He was probably speechless.
Probably.
I mean, it's bad enough there's Gentiles there, but when they start speaking in tongues and dancing around.
And they're praising the God of Israel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we've said several times on the show in the past, that when we look at the scriptures from the perspective of the time that, if we take ourselves back into that time of when this was happening, we're going to get a whole different perspective of where we're at today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does God speak to us through his word today? Yes, because his word is alive.
Amen.
And it's eternal. But there's a specific, you know, there's a specific story that's being told. And even through that, even though there's a specific story being told, such as what we're talking about here, you know, Stephen witnessing to all the leaders of Israel and telling them the whole plan of salvation from Abraham on, in God's plan, their hearts were hardened.
Yes.
Just as when Pharaoh would not release the Israelites from Egypt, it was hardened so that God's glory would be revealed.
Amen.
And, you know, that's one of the mysteries of, I think, of ministry and the mystery of God himself, is that he will choose who he wills to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pick people to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Pharaoh, he hardened his heart.
Yes.
And through that, we have the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Because the firstborn was of, you know, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Both, you know, human and beast were slain.
Exactly.
And through that, the nation of Israel is set free.
Mm-hmm.
And they're brought out of slavery. And that then that metaphor of, or really parable that we are brought out of the slavery of sin by the blood of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that happen over and over, and it's, you know, it's really, to us, it's a mystery, because it's God's will.
That's right. And if you look at the Pharisees when Peter and John came, when they were being questioned by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisees, because they had cured this beggar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, You know, it's kind of hard for us to understand who the chief priests and the Pharisees were, because it's not really in most Christians' experience to say, you know, to understand what they were.
Right.
But this was a powerful group of people. They were the most educated, the most learned, the most theological. They were the theologians of the day.
Right.
They wrote all the commentaries. They did the services. They made decisions on so many things that went on in everyone's life. They were the ones that were carrying on the promises from the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here's these two guys that are from Galilee, have never been to a school. They had, you know, a fishing business.
Yeah.
They were uneducated. They weren't very, you know, verbal.
Right.
In the sense that I'm sure your average Pharisee could have made a very nice speech compared to Peter before Pentecost. But now these guys see Peter and John and say, how can these guys talk like this? They're not even educated.
Yeah.
Where do these guys come from? because they would have been, Peter would have been the last person that the chief priest would have figured God was going to use to spread the kingdom.
After the servant girl, you know, scared him in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this was remarkable.
Yeah.
He wasn't descended from Aaron. He didn't do all the other stuff. He hadn't been to the yeshiva. He had never studied in the temple. Now, Paul would have been a candidate.
Yeah. But yeah. And what's interesting is, as you're talking about, this is after the Holy Spirit falls upon Peter. But if we go back, remember the man that was born blind, and Jesus heals him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees get wind of this, and, you know, they're inquiring. They're really grilling this man who was just healed of blindness.
Yeah.
How'd this happen to you?
Yeah.
And he starts to tell them, you know, you have eyes, but you don't even, he's telling them, you have eyes, but you don't even see this.
Yeah.
And they get infuriated and they throw them out.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a pattern of them throwing people out.
Well, yeah.
Got to happen a couple of times. But,
oh, yeah.
But as you said, they were the teachers of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to see how God uses these weak human beings,
mm-hmm.
lesser educated, to confront and tell them, you're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the message of salvation has been all about.
Yeah.
You know, and even when God says in the, I think it's in Isaiah that, you know, I desire mm-hmm. mercy, not sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Yeah. Yes.
You know, even there, he's telling them, your sacrifices are, you know, they're really meaningless to me
mm-hmm.
because you're doing all these things, but you're not being merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus even tells them this, you know, you're lording your position over these people.
You know,
and you don't lift a finger to help them.
That's right. You make their burdens bigger.
Bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he tells them that, you know, the letter of the law, but not the heart of the law.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the heart of the law is.
Yeah.
And when the Pharisees would walk around in public, they made their phylacteries bigger and bigger, you know,
right.
And Jesus brings this up in kind of a sarcastic way. He says, oh, you know, just to show you how holy they are, they make their phylacteries bigger and bigger. Now, for those of you who don't know what phylacteries are, you know, it's if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you read about how you keep the word is supposed to be for frontlets between your eyes and it's supposed to be bound to your wrists. So, you know, ultra-Orthodox and Orthodox Jews will put the verses from Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, and about loving the Lord, you know, with all your being, in the middle of their forehead and on their wrists, because mm-hmm. it always reminds them of this word, and on right. their house and on their gates. But these Pharisees, just to show they really were into this, they kept making these things bigger and bigger, till finally they had like this big thing sticking out of the front of their head.
Yeah.
So everybody would say, wow, those guys have really got to be holy, because look how big that thing is. Uh-oh, Paul Wilbur's back. He's always coming in here doing music while we're trying to talk.
I know.
Well, anyway, we are already done with two segments. I can't believe it. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can find some teachings there, some of the radio shows, some Bible studies, and more will be added as time goes on. You can also find us on Facebook, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the last segment of the show.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout.
Ascended to heaven and
the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, here we are back for the last segment.
Time really goes fast on this show.
I can't even believe it. And we're still in the Easter season, you know, and we're approaching the Feast of Pentecost. And Stephen and I have been talking about how the word went out by these first century evangelists. And we should add, I think it's important to add that we are also evangelists.
Yes.
I don't mean just Stephen and I. I mean all of you that are listening and all of you that have come to the Lord and been baptized and have been working in the gifts of the Spirit. We are all evangelists.
Amen. Exactly.
And you can see it doesn't take a lot of investigation to see what the world out there has become over the last 30, 40 years or so. And it's really up to us to be salt and light.
Yes.
And it's really up to us to go out into that world and proclaim the word.
Mm-hmm.
We can't expect the pastors, the ministers, the priests, the rabbis, the whoever, you know, the deacons to be out there while, you know, we'll just sit here and watch TV while those guys go out there and preach.
Yeah.
It's up to all of us.
Yeah. Because if God's placed his Holy Spirit in you, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And God dwells within you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will inspire you.
Yes.
To give, you know, is it helpful to study scripture? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's been times where I've said something and I'm like, I don't remember ever learning about that. Like in Isaiah 55,
yeah.
You know, that my word will go forth and accomplish that which I sent it for.
That's right.
I spoke about that before I ever read Isaiah 55. And when I read Isaiah 55, I was astonished.
Yeah.
But that's what the Holy Spirit will do.
That's right.
But we have to, it's cooperating with the gift of God, the grace, that gift of God's grace.
Yes. And many people will say to you, well, you know, my faith is a private thing and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And sure. I mean, some of that is true, but your faith is not to be kept a private thing.
Right.
Or if Peter and John had kept their faith a private thing, they wouldn't have been doing what the Lord had told them to do.
Exactly. And the message would not have been handed on to generation. And, you know, I hear people say, well, I don't know as much as that person. You don't need to. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Take the gift that God's given you and use it for the kingdom, because I know there's many times in my life where after I've come back to the Lord and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where I think, all right, Lord, you know, what do I do here?
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where I just get that sense that God's saying, just use the gifts that I've given you. And I truly believe that God's mercy and love for the person that you're ministering to is so great that he'll use you, you know, and if you're simply open, you may never have laid hands on someone and they've been healed.
Yeah.
But if you're simply open to that person, you pray in faith. Now, I don't, you know, God can heal that person.
Exactly.
But those things are up to God. It's just for us to step out in faith and pray for the person. We may not see an instantaneous miracle, but we may see a process of conversion, of spiritual healing.
Yes.
And that person coming to know the Lord even more deeply.
Yes.
And many times that's an even greater blessing than a physical healing.
Absolutely.
You know? So wherever you're at, You know, I guess Phil and I would, you know, we encourage you to use those gifts that God's given you, because the gift is not for yourself. It's to build up the body of Christ.
Exactly.
The only gift that is for yourself is the gift of praying in tongues.
Yes.
Because you're interceding. God's, you know, when you're praying in tongues, as Paul says, I know that my spirit's encountering mm-hmm. God's spirit.
Yes. Yeah. And he says, you know, in the same area in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the gifts are for the building up of the body.
Right.
And we've all been given gifts. When you become a believer, you're indwelt by the Spirit. You're given gifts to do ministry. You're given gifts to empower you to do the ministry. And it's not about you and it's not your doing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't, if you have the gift of evangelization or teaching or music or, you know, whatever the gift is, it doesn't do the kingdom much good if you just decide to sit in your family room and exercise your gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's many times where, there's life in the spirit seminars, mm-hmm. or growth in the spirit seminars that we have been a part of. And in those seminars, we talk about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, being receptive to those gifts, being open to those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if somebody gives you a gift and they place it on your, your kitchen table and you go, oh, thank you very much. You know, and you never open that gift.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's in the box?
Yeah.
You never know what's in there.
Doesn't do much good.
If you bought a house with 10 rooms in it and you only went into 8 of them and you left 2 rooms shut and you never went in there, there's more there that you can, there's something else there that you haven't experienced yet.
Yeah.
So it is with the gifts of God. And, you know, if you're operating in love, then the gifts are going to flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because even Paul, you know, Paul says, I can have the gift of prophecy. I can have the gift of knowledge, and it's all going to come to nothing
mm-hmm.
if I don't have love.
Yeah. He just becomes a noisy symbol.
Yeah. And it comes from a man who was persecuting the church.
Oof.
And really understood, you know, as we were talking about the Pharisees and the law. Yeah, I think this is why, and how much they miss some of this. I think this is why so Paul was so adamant about grace,
mm-hmm.
because he was, you know, as he says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
and he knew the law backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
and he saw God's grace, and he understood that without love, none of this matters.
Yes,
And
he went from all that you just said to saying, look, I just preach Christ and Christ crucified.
Yeah.
I'm the apostle of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
I'm the apostle of grace. Grace, grace, grace. It's all grace. If you want to go back, you know, if you feel you have to go back to be circumcised, well, then you have to go back and do all the law.
Yeah.
Because it's about grace now. And he's the best example of the radical transformation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you know, he talks over and over again about how if anybody could boast, he could boast, but there's no boasting anymore.
Right.
Not going to boast about himself anymore. And you can imagine the Pharisees, and, you know, you can fast forward to the 20th and 21st century, and you can take churches that have, you know, whatever their leadership structure is, and you can have people walking around saying, well, I'm the one who's the leader, so because I'm the holy guy.
Right.
Well, they had those too. But sometimes that was inhibiting the spirit. It was inhibiting the message from getting out.
Yeah.
And Paul was one of those guys who was so zealous for the law that he persecuted those that he felt were violating it.
Right.
And then he's so radically transformed that he preaches the word to people and they're converted.
Yeah.
And grace, we're in the covenant of grace. And even the writer of the Hebrews says, you know, the sword, you know, the sword of the spirit, which is the word,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's sharper. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's the discerner of thoughts. It's an intents of the heart. I mean, this is the word is a powerful sword that cuts through everything.
Yeah.
And when these people at Pentecost morning heard the word, they were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter didn't talk about, you know, things they had done or prayers they had said, or He just proclaimed the word.
Yeah.
And these people were cut to the heart.
Yeah. You know, when you're saying Paul's preaching, I preach Christ and him crucified. You know, the greatest outpouring of God's love is what we see on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the cross, in the image of the cross and Jesus on the cross,
mm-hmm.
that's the effect of our sin.
Yes.
But it's also the revelation of God's pure love for us.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
it's the center of salvation.
It's the center of it. And in that, you know, if your heart's hardened and you're preaching to somebody Christ and him crucified, you know, there's a lot of power of love that's going to transform that heart.
Because if you don't look to that cross and realize what was done for you there,
right,
you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because then if you don't accept that as being done for you, then you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your sin.
Right.
And Paul was just absolutely zealous then about preaching that rather than teaching the law.
Yeah.
Woo.
This is an awesome song, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to let you listen to the song because it's really awesome. Stephen and I will be back next week with another episode of The Gift of Grace. So have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow.
Have a good night, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.